Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
On April the 11th, we were made aware in a council meeting that Mr. Spears and Councilman Snow spent about 40 or appeared before the Pensacola Area Realtors Association. They presented to their commercial forum. What we weren't told at that meeting is that they were once again accusing our organization, Save Blackwater River, and Milton's concerned citizens of spreading lies and misinformation.
So, here we go. You had, at the most recent executive committee meeting of the Milton City Council, you had the public forum, which is always the case, and Pam Mitchell, one of the Pitchfork Posse, who lives on Cooper's Basin and is upset about the location of the wastewater treatment plant, she got up to give a detailed, annotated, minute-by-minute, blow-by-blow refutation and critique of a presentation that Jeff Snow, city council member, and Ed Spears, the economic development director slash assistant city manager for the city of Milton, had given at a recent meeting of the realtors, in which she said she was defamed and lied about and they were propagandizing and it was all inappropriate. And so she went through for 17 minutes. She went through and talked about all of the lie and lies and the things that they said that were inappropriate, including this about Ed Spears.
23, Mr. Spears.
23 minutes.
Keep good people like Jeff on city council. And I have a problem with that because he's politicking while he's on the job for the city of Milton.
Yeah, as politicking goes, it's pretty light. Is there something about that that's whiffs of inappropriateness for the assistant city manager to say keep good people like this on? I mean, again, if he were endorsing in an actual election over somebody else, sure, that would be a problem. And if he were doing it on, again, his work time, that would be a problem. In the grand scheme of politicking, that seems pretty light to me. But, you know, once you've decided that you're going to spend 15 hours watching a 45-minute presentation in order to... No, I'm not kidding. She watched for 15 hours.
I have one personal comment and then I'm done. I've spent over 15 hours of my time listening to this, making notes, going back, making sure I heard things just right in order to defend myself and the people that belong to our groups.
15 hours watching a 40 or 45 minute presentation. Wow. That's a lot, including, you know, grammatical critiques.
Mr. Snow says that our group is putting out false lies. I have to laugh a little bit. If a lie is false, does that mean it's the truth?
Okay. All right. So some of the critiques were substantial. A lot of the critiques were very petty, were very silly. And if she had done a tight 3 minutes on the three big things, I still think they're petty. But okay, these are the three big things. One was Ed talking about Jeff Snow. Another was Jeff Snow, who had things, you know, to say about who should have been elected. She says,
this is real important to y'all. At the 54-minute mark, Mr. Snow says, unfortunately, they, meaning MCC, in the last election got people elected that probably shouldn't have been. He is speaking of your mayor and the council members seated to the left where I'm sitting, standing. This is totally disrespectful to the citizens and people that elected this council. Snow also refers to the council as my council.
All right, so the my council thing is super bland. Like, I would, if I were elected to, you know, it's my station, it's my city, it's my council, it's my commission. It's just the way people talk. That doesn't strike me as anything. The issue about, you know, well, I don't think those people should have been elected. He's an elected official. People say that all the time in office. I mean, that's just super bland, right? But nevertheless, Heather Lindsay, who, you know, again, Pam Mitchell thinks that Heather Lindsay was the one that was being referred to. So she asks Jeff, she's the mayor.
I am curious about your statement that you stand by everything you said, because it seemed to me that you were saying, because I listened to it myself, that you didn't think some of us should have been elected.
Mayor, you support the wastewater treatment plant, so how could that include you? You've been supported, and this group has supported you. So what they're stating, just because they say it doesn't mean it's true, okay? I'm not talking about, there are people on here that you have work to do that. That's your right. You have that.
Well, Mr. Snow,
but,
I didn't.
But you're naming particular names. And, you know, I can have my own opinion who I believe falls under that category.
Mr. Snow.
Just like some of them don't agree with me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really get the objection. He's there as a realtor. Even if he's there as a city council member, people say their opinions all the time about their fellow board members all the time about, you might prefer that everybody likes each other and gets along, but that's just not a reality that anybody in Milton has seen in a long time. So we'll come back to this in a second, because that issue had become a sticking point for particularly Mike Cusack. We'll get into that in a second. Candy's got traffic on the phone. Oh, and by the way, if you haven't heard me talk about this yet, just trust me. By the end, you'll understand why I did this segment. Because there is a payoff. Candy, is there a payoff?
Oh, my gosh. There is a payoff.
It's right. The best payoff I've heard, I think.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, and you will see why. Good news is I'm not showing any slowdowns. It looks like 29 has been cleared. We are watching, of course, East Bay Boulevard, Navarre. It's closed for the rest of the month as they work on the drainage improvement project. Hey, if you have traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to...
Ding, ding.
No. Resume round two. So Mike Cusack, one of the city council members who is frequently at odds with Jeff Snow and much of the rest of the board, frankly, is talking to Randy Jorgensen, the city manager, who's Ed Spears' boss.
Randy, I have a question for you. Did you authorize Mr. Spears and his talking points along with the city logo to attend this meeting?
Mr. Spears was in an appropriate place at the appropriate time for someone in his profession. Yes, I did.
So you approved the talking points and everything that
I didn't approve of the talking points. No, I've reviewed his comments, and I don't find his comments to necessarily be offensive. If you have viewed the video or looked at the areas that were pointed out earlier here this evening, I don't believe that Mr. Spears' statements were inaccurate.
So he's like, yeah, he's fine. Also, he's the economic development director, and he was at the realtors meeting to talk to them about, hey, Milton is creating a more business-friendly environment. We're trying to invite people back in, which is true. And Jeff Snow is interested in all that as well.
Councilman Snow, I'm trying to figure out who authorized you to be the sole representative of quote-unquote my council.
I was invited as a realtor to be there.
But you represented as a city, as your council, correct? Not as a realtor.
They put that picture up because I didn't have my, didn't have time to send them my real statement. So, but I was as a realtor. I'm a realtor there.
He was there as a realtor and as a city council member. Okay. I mean, they're kind of joint roles. Was he pretending to represent the whole council? Come on now. You know, that's just, and even if he did, weirdly, that's, you know, political speech, right?
So your statements to the effect that some of us should not have been elected. You stand by that statement, then, is that correct?
I have to go look and see what the actual statement was and see the whole context that it was stated.
Well, Mayor, can we request this be shown next Tuesday's council meeting? Can I make a motion that we review it?
Good Lord, we're going to watch the whole thing? So that'll make it 16 hours?
You can make statements or whatever you want. You want to pull it up and pull it all up in context, go for it. I don't have a problem.
So they're upset that he said my council, and they're upset that he thought that some of the other city council members shouldn't be on council, which are perfectly political opinions today. Well, my council, like I said, that's just a phrase of speech. Anyway.
So if I wanted to go out to meet with the Rotary Club or the Kiwanis or a group of people that I know and act as a representative of the city council, the rest of the city council is okay with that? You're okay with that? Everybody's okay with that, no matter
what
I say?
Want.
Huh? I think it's an important question that raises identifies a gap that we have in our policies and procedures.
Yeah, we need to fix that.
What do you mean fix it? Like, what would the fix be? Thou shalt not use the expression my council. Like, what? I really don't know what he thinks the guidance is supposed to be, that a city council member's speech is going to be controlled in a meeting with the Kiwanis or the, you know, elks or the, you know, the water buffaloes, the grand poobah or whatever. I don't know what he thinks is going to happen.
You know, I wouldn't feel comfortable. I personally would not go out and meet with a group of people saying it's my council. And I don't think certain people should have got elected to office. I personally wouldn't do that because it's not right. But I can't speak for another person on the council that chose to go that avenue. So I think we need to have something in place The city attorney's not here, of course, tonight, so...
Well, yeah, because in session...
I would be happy to help with that at the next committee meeting or agenda conference. If there's a proposal...
We need to do something now.
I could ask Mr. Andrade for some help and Ms. Molinaro, and I could work on something.
Okay.
And by the way, two completely contradictory expressions there, right? I personally wouldn't do that because I don't think that it's right to do it. Great, free speech, wonderful, tolerance. But we got to make a rule to stop other people from doing it so that everybody does it my way. Wait, what now? Which one is it? Okay, so that's all preamble. Trust me, that's all preamble. The final moment. The real clincher. Because I probably would have let all this go. Probably it didn't matter that much that it was worth talking about on the radio for me. Even though, you know me, I love my Milton drama. The real drama came when David Farrow, who is the husband of Marilyn Farrow, who is a city council member, and he's like an elector for the statewide Republicans or something. I mean, he has a position of some authority within this, you know, the Santa Rosa Republican. Anyway, so David Farrow gets up after all of this has happened. And again, Marilyn Farrow is probably one of the people that Jeff Snow is meaning he doesn't think ought to have been elected, along with Mike Cusack. Those are probably the two he means. I'm not speaking for him, just guessing based on, you know, things that have happened in council. So here we go. You ready? Are you sure you're ready? Here we go.
Mayor, we have a special call meeting.
So they have to take a break.
Just a moment.
And do this other project talk.
Before we have a special call meeting, Mr. Farrow, would you like to be recognized?
Yes. David Farrow, Milton, Florida. I am disappointed in you, especially Jeff Snow. Your disappointment, you are a disappointment to this community. Smile, you know, I'd love to just round my fist in your face.
Try to maintain professionalism, Mr. Farrow.
What?
I'm sorry. That's my wife who's talking about it.
What?
I wouldn't talk about his wife in a negative way. Yeah. You were in problems.
I wouldn't talk about his wife that way.
Mr. Farrow, we've heard your comments.
And he had come, like, the setup in the Milton City Council is you got the kind of the front area, the dais, as sometimes call it, where they all sit and face the audience, and the audience faces them. And over to the, I think it's on the right or the left. I forget. Anyway, I think it's on the right. They've got the kind of the area for the employees. Maybe it's on the left. It doesn't matter. But then you've got the podium. And at the podium, you get up and you speak. And he was speaking, and then he got so worked up after threatening to punch Jeff Snow that he, like, came around to the front, like, halfway between the podium and the dais, and, you know, was kind of looking at him real stern-like, and...
Mayor, we have a...
Oh, sorry. Here's the clip again.
Smile, you know, I'd love to just round my fist in your face.
Try to maintain...
just... Well, there you go. Okay. Happy days in Milton.
Did Jeff Snow stand up and go ding, ding?
Yeah. Ding, ding. Like at the end of Rocky III. That's right. Oh, man. So now, to his credit, after they went through this whole special meeting, which here's the funny thing, they're trying to, you know, really criticize Ed Spears. And the next hour of the meeting, by the way, I'm not going to talk about it today, but the next hour of the meeting is Ed Spears explaining how they're on the verge of landing a deal that's going to put a, for the first time ever, a college in downtown Milton, Lighthouse Christian College, that they want to found in the old medical building. And so they're all talking about how awesome this deal is for the next hour. Anyway, after he had gotten an hour to simmer down and kind of recover and probably got talked to by I don't know whom, perhaps his wife. I don't know if he prayed. I don't know exactly. But I will give credit where credit is due. David Farrow did come back and apologize an hour later.
So for all of you on the council, and the public out here and those that have left, I would like to apologize for my attitude earlier. It has been probably over 35 years since I've been so angry. And I pray that God will forgive me for my anger. I really mean that from my heart.
Yes, sir.
It's not me.
Hey, you know, everybody does dumb stuff. I mean, not everybody threatens to punch a city council member in public, but everybody does dumb stuff, myself included. The fact that he came back within the meeting and apologized, that's, I give credit where that credit is due. It absolutely is. 724 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson. The most famous verse in all the Bible is famous for several reasons. It's famous because it's rich with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's famous because it models godly giving in an amazingly sacrificial way. It's famous because it explains the way to heaven as well as the avoidance of eternal hell. Have you figured out which verse I'm talking about? If you thought John 3:16, then you're right. It powerfully states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you have never confessed your sin and called on Christ to save you, I urge you to trust Christ today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
If you haven't been to Home Outlet, you're missing out on the best value on kitchens, baths, floors, and more. You could be saving big on your kitchen remodel with in-stock cabinets starting at $78 per linear foot and in-stock countertops starting at just $63. And with the guaranteed lowest price, you can be sure you're getting the best value for your project dollar. Visit us in-store or shop online for in-store pickup at homeoutlet.com.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I'm Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida. Since 1969, the University of West Florida has offered graduate programs to provide expanded education and training for professionals in Northwest Florida. Join Melissa Webb and Sabrina Capps on the Pensacola Expert Panel as they discuss their graduate school at UWF and the resources provided to prospective students. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
Get your finances in order and become financially free with Dave Ramsey. Weekdays 1 to 4 after Brian Kilmeade on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, Pancho! Oh, Cinco!
If I had a perfect day, I would have it start this way. Open up the fridge and have a tall boy, yeah. Then I'd meet up with my friends, head out to the game again. We don't even really care who wins. Wins, one, two, three.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Good stuff. Oh, we're super late to everything we're doing today. 727 on News Radio 92.3.
No slowdowns on the road. 437-1620.
Really? Text that's it? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Community members in North Texas mourning the loss of 8 people killed in a shooting at that outdoor mall near Texas. The public gathered at a church yesterday for a prayer vigil to honor the victims. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is refuting criticism that the Biden administration isn't prepared for the end of Title 42. He was on CBS's Face the Nation. Mayorkas says the White House has tried repeatedly to end Title 42 and has been prepared for its removal for quite some time. And a New York hospital system suing an ex-morgue worker for posting cadaver photos and videos on social media.
Ew.
Northwell Health says former employee Quantase Sharpton posted graphic photos snapped in the morgue to get followers. The hospital now suing for damages and to get her to take down the images that apparently included cadavers, amputated body parts, and even a stillborn infant.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. All right, David, thanks for that update. 728 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We got some texts in here. Let's see. Somebody says, 437-1620, you only play clips that are easy to ridicule. Your bias is too obvious. Talking to me. Regardless of how you feel about her as a person, which side of the debate you're on, I think this is talking about Pam Mitchell, who, by the way, I don't think I said it this time, but I actually kind of like Pam. I think she's the more reasonable of the Pitchfork Posse folks, and I've communicated with her back and forth on email a couple of times. So, you know, if you'd have done 3 minutes or 4 minutes with here are three or four key things from this meeting that you didn't hear that you ought to think about and consider, that'd be one thing. But it was just kind of like, I heard about this meeting and I'm going to go through this refutation in public. It's just, it was so, like I said, weird and so many things that were so petty in that presentation. Somebody here says, based on how the detractors are conducting themselves in exposure to this information, I can see why he has the opinion on why some people shouldn't have been elected. Yeah, and, you know, like, they're trying to talk when Jeff Snow is talking. Somebody says, how embarrassing it must be to live in Milton and be led by these clowns. Somebody here says, what is wrong with these people? Oh, and at the fight threat, I'd like to see you try, old man. No, we don't need to have a fist fight in the city council meeting. We don't need to have that.
So, no, but doesn't it sound like the Adam Sandler movie? Like Happy Gilmore? Now you've had enough, Jeff.
That's right. Oh, the statute is wrong. 7:30. 7:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Hey, coming up in just a moment, you know, we've had all these allegations about the District 1 medical examiner, about, you know, bodies and handling of bodies. We actually have Dr. Deanna Oleski here in studio. We'll talk to her in just a few minutes. David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
There was a deputy-involved shooting yesterday. We'll tell you more about it after Fox.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. Ukraine air defense has shot down 35 Iranian-made drones over Kyiv and Russia's latest nighttime assault. Officials said Monday, attacks across Ukraine, leaving 4 dead. Meanwhile, security tight in Moscow's Red Square commemorations marking the defeat of Nazi Germany in World War II. The Soviet Union lost at least 20 million people during the war. France also pausing to mark the end of the war 78 years ago. The French anthem played on the streets of Paris. The French president, Emmanuel Macron, laying a wreath at the statue of Charles de Gaulle on the Champs-Élysées. A law enforcement official says the feds are looking into whether the gunman who killed 8 at a Dallas area mall expressed an interest in white supremacist ideology. They're trying to figure out his motive. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 7:31, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 74 degrees right now. It is mostly cloudy here in Pensacola this morning. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office says a suspect was shot and killed after a standoff at a home on the 4700 block of Helton Lane. Now, this happened on Sunday. Deputies say the suspect had taken a hostage and threatened deputies and bail bondsmen. Deputies initially responding to serve felony warrants at the address. After a standoff, deputies say the suspect was shot and killed as he attempted to leave with the hostage at knife point. The victim had been taken hostage was taken to the hospital. Right now, no update on their condition. FDLE investigating the deputy-involved shooting. Organization Black Business Pensacola launching a new initiative to help black business owners in the area. They call it the Entrepreneur Institute. It's designed to help business owners with skills needed in the ever-changing business landscape. They're going to be hosting a series of workshops featuring experts in various industries, the first workshop being held tonight at the Bellevue Library. Drug overdoses continue to plague Northwest Florida. Not only Northwest Florida, though, the rest of the country as well. Escambia County's EMS dashboard showing first responders have been called to nearly 700 drug overdoses, and that's just this year. One local church has held an opioid summit over the weekend to talk about addiction and resources available. One speaker was the founder of nonprofit Freedom Life Compass, who has been through it herself.
I first used at age 11. My brother was 9. We stole it from my dad's stash. By the time I was 15, I was a high school dropout, selling drugs full time.
That is Stephanie Waddell. She spoke at that summit at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pace on Saturday, and she says she turned her life around after attending church with her mother. Her organization helps women that are coming out of situations like hers. Well, the clock is now ticking for Governor DeSantis to announce his expected presidential run. Now that the legislative session is over, Barry University's Sean Foreman says that former President Trump is still leading DeSantis in the latest polls, but he says the governor can now tout all the new conservative-friendly laws that have been passed this year.
DeSantis' star is less bright today than it was right after the election, but he's still in a good spot to launch a national campaign and talk about his accomplishments in Florida.
And the governor will have a busy week ahead of him. He's traveling to Wisconsin, Illinois, and Iowa this week, where he'll be discussing the 6-week abortion ban and the expansion of the parental rights in education law. Florida's Space Coast might play a key role in defending the free world from China. That from Senator Marco Rubio. He wrote that in the Orlando Sentinel yesterday. And he says that over the next 7 years, the Space Force plans to update Cape Canaveral to accommodate what could be daily launches. Those launches could include manned space flights to military and commercial communication and surveillance payloads. And Rubio says that Beijing is seeking to overtake the U.S. in space and use that as an advantage to weaken the free world. But to prevent that, Rubio says we need to invest in Cape Canaveral because it's the foundation on which the next generation of space innovations will depend. 735, News Radio 92.3. Candy's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
Good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays. We are still watching East Bay Boulevard in Navarre. That's still closed south of Coppell Drive as part of the ongoing drainage improvement project. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We're going to be seeing a beautiful day today with a small chance at a stray shower, 20% chance of rain with a high near 81. Overnight tonight, temperatures staying warm in the 70s. For Tuesday, another beautiful and nice humid day, 84 degrees for your high, 30% chance of a few stray showers. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 74, mostly cloudy in Pensacola. Also 74 in Gulf Breeze. Just a few degrees cooler, 71 in Milton. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. The Oracle of Omaha held court at Berkshire Hathaway's annual shareholder meeting over the weekend. Investors flocked to Nebraska to hear from the conglomerate's CEO, Warren Buffett, and his right-hand man, Charlie Munger. Buffett said banks could face more pressure, but believes deposits are safe. Meanwhile, he said commercial real estate is starting to feel the pain of higher borrowing costs. Berkshire also reported first quarter earnings, jumping 13% thanks to a rebound in its insurance business. More and more Americans are becoming so-called cord cutters, and that made for a worse-than-expected quarter for Dish Network, which posted a larger revenue decline than analysts expected. Dish saw a net decrease of 552,000 subscribers. On Wall Street, futures are mixed as investors try to make sense of all the conflicting data and keep an eye on what's to come. Regional banks are continuing Friday's relief rally, but there's anxiety over the Federal Reserve's latest assessment of bank lending due this afternoon. That's Your Money Now.
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa is here to help take the pressure off of you finding the perfect Mother's Day gift this year. Show the mom in your life how much she means to you with the gift of renewal and relaxation. Stillwater's offers a variety of spa treatments, including facials, massages, and more. Mother's Day gift certificates can be purchased online at stillwatersmedspa.com or in person at the spa located in downtown Pensacola. Stillwater's Medical Spa, Pensacola's world-class luxury spa.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech of Professional Air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Thursday at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him Thursday morning at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey Pensacola, News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
That's one of my all-time favorite pieces of, is that Harold Faltermeyer, I think, did that?
It's Hans Zimmer.
Oh, Hans Zimmer, that's right. Oh, man.
It's called You're So Cool.
From True Romance.
From True Romance.
A fabulous movie. So joining us in studio, we have a real treat today. We have the medical director for District 1. You sometimes hear this called DOMES, the medical examiner, for District 1, Dr. Deanna Oleski. She works for the entire circuit, which is basically Okaloosa, Walton, Escambia, and Santa Rosa County. A different scope of authority than we're normally thinking of, but, the same as the state attorney, same for District 1. Dr. Oleski, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you for having me.
And also, we have Rick Bailey, who is the owner of Waters & Hibbert and the author of one of the letters that was written to critique the medical examiner. And also, you had seen him on Channel 3 and things like this a couple of weeks ago when all the allegations about how things were being done by the medical examiner's office came out. Rick Bailey, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Oleski, I wanted to kind of give you the first chance. We had your operations manager on previously, and we talked about your response. But since then, you have met with some of the funeral home people who made the allegations, including Rick Bailey. And I wanted to give you a chance. You had an article in the PNJ that came out, I think, yesterday. I wanted to give you a chance to just kind of tell us where we stand at this moment with regards to these concerns, allegations, and some of the things that have been said.
Well, at this moment, we had a meeting on April 21st with Mr. Bailey, as well as several other funeral homes that had concerns. And we had a very productive meeting for about 3 hours discussing their concerns and addressing our own concerns. After following that, we went over and we did a quality assurance kind of review of our cases to see exactly what was going on. And we couldn't find much of the claims that were made, such as, being slow with turnaround times for cremation approvals. So that's one of the things that we have to review because cremation is finite. Uh-huh. And we review almost 7,000 ERBs between two different doctors, myself and another doctor. And our average turnaround time is less than 20 hours, and that's including the weekends. So on average, we turn around these cremations within 2 to 3 hours at most. The going forward, I think I had actually established a really good working relationship with Mr. Bailey. We kind of figured out that we're from different perspectives here of helping families find closure in a different kind of way. I'm here to, provide justice and tell the truth, and Mr. Bailey has to provide the closure and saying goodbye.
And there were a wide variety of claims made in these three letters, right? Everything from your staff was hard to work with or non-responsive to some fairly gruesome claims about ways bodies have been mishandled, leaking body bags, and some even sort of over-the-top comparisons that I don't want to mention on the air because I felt like they were well beyond the pale. And did you find sort of anything to justify those claims and that wide scope of concerns?
No, none.
And have you had any chance for those people making the allegations to give you refutable or at least, investigatable facts about dates, times, places, photographs, anything that would substantiate the claims that they had made?
None. We are obsessive compulsive when it comes to documenting things. And we take note of exactly how the body leaves our facility, including all their valuables and what they came in with. And we inventory those and we release those to the funeral homes and they then take possession of. We are very careful with our quality assurance processes, and I had not found a single person that had trash in their body bags. I did not find a single torn body bag or leaking body bag. If they are leaking, then we transfer them to a new one, because more often than not, those leaking or poorly made body bags are coming from not us but outside agencies like the hospitals.
So if that's true, where did these letters come from?
I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess this is where you come in, Rick, because you were the author of one of the letters.
Yes, sir.
And there were letters from two other funeral home directors. You had made some criticisms in the scope of criticisms, the ones that were in your letter were, I would say, much more mild and had more procedural orientation to them. We didn't have any of the sort of salacious claims being made in yours.
Yes, sir.
But you tell me, how did this happen? Are you satisfied now that, I don't know, your chance to talk, what do you think about where we stand right now?
I think the medical examiner's office and Dr. Oleksii and I have a good relationship now. We've discussed all my issues. She's addressed them, answered my questions, and really has reached out with all of her staff to work with us, and us with her as well.
So do you feel like the things that prompted you to write that letter were more misunderstandings or misperceptions? I mean, do you feel like you need to, I don't know, recant or change anything that you've said before?
Well, there were two or three issues that I brought up that they were valid issues, and I got answers for those.
Okay.
I think some of the other stuff could have been left out, yes.
Okay. And I know, you know, they weren't your letters, the ones that were written by the other two funeral directors, but, I mean, how did this come to pass? Did you just spontaneously and independently write this letter to the county? Was there...
No, sir. I was invited to a meeting with funeral homes and a county commissioner to discuss the issues. So I showed up for the meeting, discussed all among the funeral homes and the county commissioner, and that his request of us to write a letter is how all this began.
Wait, you were brought, like, did you raise these concerns to somebody prior to that, or how did you get invited to this meeting?
It was a funeral director in town that invited me to this meeting.
Okay. And did he know you had concerns in the past or had raised issues with him about the medical examiner?
He had discussed the issues that I had.
Okay.
The concerns that I had, yes.
So one of the other funeral directors had mentioned it to you, but you got invited. Now, was it you? Which county commissioner did invited you to the meeting?
It wasn't a county commissioner. It was a funeral director.
Oh, okay. But the meeting was with the county commissioner?
With the county commissioner, yes, sir.
And which one was that?
Mr. Berry.
Okay. And where did this meeting take place?
Sonny's Barbecue. Smokey's Barbecue.
Okay, which is his family's barbecue. Okay. So you met with Stephen Berry at the barbecue with the other two funeral home directors. And
there were three funeral directors present at that meeting.
Okay.
Plus myself.
And what happened at the meeting?
Everybody discussed their issues, and the county commissioner was asking questions and details. And then at the end of the meeting, he requested that we write a letter to the county commissioners. And that's where the letters came about.
And did he give you was there a reason why he was wanting you to write these letters, or?
I really don't know.
Okay.
With the way things have turned out, I have a lot of questions myself.
Okay. So, actually, let me take a pause. We're talking to Deanna Oleski and Rick Bailey from Waters & Hibbert, owner of Waters & Hibbert Funeral Home. Let's get a quick traffic on the fives. Candy?
Not showing any slowdowns. We are watching still East Bay Boulevard in Navarre, closed to south of Coppell Drive as part of the ongoing drainage improvement project. And not showing any slowdowns, or I should say it is a little slow through Wind Haven, but not like it has been lately. 98, good to go. If you have traffic tips, please text them in, 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Rick Bailey. I just want to make sure I understand. There was a meeting with Stephen Berry at the barbecue, but there was another funeral home director there. There were four of you all together. Is that right? Or there were three of you all together?
There were four funeral directors present.
Okay. And he had asked you guys to write a letter, and not all of them wrote a letter, right? Because one of them did not, I guess?
Just one did not. No,
one did not. Okay. And did anybody to write a letter to the county or to write a letter to the... Who is the authority that would oversee you, Dr. Oleski?
The
Medical Examiner's Commission?
Yeah.
So did he ask you to write a letter to the county or to the Medical Examiner's Commission?
He asked for it to be sent to their office.
Did he say, because that's weird, like why to them? Did he say why to them?
No.
Okay. And now that we're kind of at this phase of kind of understanding what's going on, what do you think about, do you wish you'd have written this letter?
No, not the way it's been handled. Absolutely not.
So what was the handling of it that bothered you?
First of all, this was an effort to address the situation with the medical examiner's office. But apparently by writing these letters to the county commissioner and the blog that was put out, that was not the intentions. That didn't accomplish anything at all for me or Dr. Alexi.
Were you surprised when you saw the other letters that were with your letter?
Well, I knew they were writing letters. Yes, I knew they
right.
were writing
you
letters.
You knew that was coming. All right.
Yeah, I was quite shocked when the blog came out, and especially when he gave his professional opinion, which I don't think he's really aware of my job or Dr. Alexi's job.
Commissioner Bragash.
Correct.
Okay. So, Dr. Oleski, you've kind of seen all this transpire. We've talked about how you've resolved things, at least with Rick Bailey. Have you worked with other funeral home directors since then to see what level of concerns? Because that was a question I had is, look, if this is, you know, two or three funeral homes who are have real concerns, it's likely that other funeral homes would have these concerns. Have you seen these questions and concerns from Okaloosa, Santa Rosa, Walton? Have you seen from anywhere else?
Following these letters from and how this was handled, not only myself, but my staff had reached out to all the funeral homes that we serve and across the four counties, and including across, you know, the whole southern Georgia, Alabama area. We serve 45 funeral homes in this district and about 75 overall of the region. Reached out to everybody in Walton County, everybody in Okaloosa, most in Santa Rosa County, and I did not get the same feedback. In fact, I got some phone calls preemptively saying, I'm so sorry that we had nothing to do with this.
Wow. So I guess what I'm still trying to figure out about all of this is why? Because it sounds like the claims were exaggerated at the very least. Or, like, in your case, you had legitimate concerns, but talking with her seemed to work these out okay.
I got some answers, yes.
Right.
Yes.
And yet the way this all unfolded through the blog post and through the, you know, well, you know, I'm not going to give you the full document, but I'm going to invite the media to request the full document from the county. And, you know, starting with this meeting coordinated by the county commissioner and, you know, asking you guys to write the letters, but not to the appropriate authority to write them to them, and then holding on to those letters.
Well, it was a funeral director and the kind of commissioner together
who were asking the letters right. to be written. Got it.
I'd never heard of the man before I met him that day.
Thank you for clarifying. I appreciate
right.
that.
I mean,
but now I look at all of this in retrospect, and I still don't understand why. Like, why this coordinated effort to criticize you to bring this issue out, which looks to me very much planned. Okay, all of this looks very much planned to me. I don't know how to explain this because I can't figure out who benefits from doing this.
Neither can I.
Nope, I can't either.
My impression was that he was going to assist us with communicating with the medical examiner's office, because I did have difficulty communicating with the office.
Okay,
and that was my thought of what this was all about.
So you thought the letter was going to be like an entree, was going to begin conversations that you had had trouble with, and that this would, hey, we've got some concerns, maybe some kind of a communications would be brokered. That's what you thought was going to happen.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
And then when it got turned into this
political
disclosure, news, salacious political
right.
attack.
That was never, never, never my intentions. This should have never gone the way that it had gone. I mean, I had tried to talk to her office, but there was communication problems, which she has rectified since then. And she's met with me on numerous occasions to work with me, to talk with me. I've got her personal cell phone number now, all of her staff. So that was my expectation of it. All this other stuff, I have no clue where or what that was about.
It sounds, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, I'll ask, it sounds like you feel used, deceived, misled, at least?
I would like some answers from them.
Okay. Okay.
You know, we've heard from everybody else. They've had a meeting with us. She met with all the funeral directors involved. We met with all of her staff. These people that did this or requested all this, we've not heard a word from. It's like they started the fire and ran.
Did you meet with the other funeral directors, the other two writers of the letters, Dr. Oleski?
So my staff did that day. I was actually, unfortunately, in the morgue.
Okay.
But her associate medical examiner was there, Dr. Lopez.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
All of her staff was present that day at that meeting that we had 3 hours discussed all of the issues and concerns we had.
So as soon as this came out, within, I think it was 2 days, you guys convened a colloquy or a meeting where everybody was able to raise their concerns and ask their
Absolutely.
Questions and have it and
yes.
have answers made.
We met at their conference room. All of us present, all the staff, the associate medical examiner, Dan as well, to discuss the issues and concerns we had. And they were all addressed. Like I say, there were some things that were true. A lot of it could have been overplayed.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as myself, they've satisfied me. They've helped me resolve it. I've dealt with my families, And I have an open line of communication with them now, and that's all I ask for.
Well, that's a good endpoint. Of course, the way we got here maybe was not the best. We need to wrap it up. We're out of time. But Dr. Oleski, I wanted to leave you with, if you have final thoughts either about what happened or why, or, you know, it seems incredibly coincidental. And I have said this on the air. It seems too coincidental to not be related that the location of the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office, the location to be in Santa Rosa County or to have two facilities or whatever. And even in the blog, you know, Commissioner Bergosh denies it twice while attacking me, having brought the subject up a day or two prior to the blog. So too much protesting to me to be ignored. Thoughts, evaluation, why, anything that you have?
You know, honestly, Andrew, I never thought that you and I would make it in the same blog post together unless it was one of our demises.
Fair. That's true. Yeah, that's about right. And before today, we'd never met. We talked briefly on the phone once, but that's it, right?
Yeah, I've never met. I'm sorry. I'm not a morning person, so I really don't follow your show.
Neither am I. It's understandable.
No, I hear you.
Well, I just want to say this. Rick, I think it takes a lot of courage to come on the air and say, you know, hey, this is where things seem to have gone wrong. I wish it hadn't happened that way. And to, you know, tell the truth as you understand it. Dr. Oleski, certainly I think that things have been said and done here that were very inappropriate towards you. And I wish that had not happened, because everything I have heard about you from anybody else has always been highest of praise. So great to meet you for the first time. We'll keep asking questions. I don't know whether we'll get any answers more than we have at the moment, but I certainly think we've learned a lot today. And so I appreciate both of you coming in. Rick Bailey from Waters and Hibbert and Dr. Deanna Oleski, the District 1 Medical Examiner. Thank you for joining us on the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Let's get a quick traffic before we go to commercial. Candy?
All right. Not showing a lot of problems. 29 southbound. This is just south of Pinestead. A tractor trailer pulling a piece of heavy equipment on a low boy got stuck. That right lane is blocked. And then, of course, East Bay Boulevard, Navarre closed to south of Coppell as part of the ongoing drainage improvement project. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Newsmax is conducting an urgent poll asking if it was right for Fox News to fire Tucker. Do you want Tucker back on TV? Let us know what you think. Vote in the Newsmax poll. Just text us now. Text the word RESPOND to 39747. That's RESPOND to 39747. Let your voice be heard. Text RESPOND to 39747. Millions made the switch to Newsmax. You can too. Texting enrolls for automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Now it's time for another tip from ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
We are the Gulf Coast's premier local digital marketing partner. Did you know every campaign we create is done right here from our radio studio office, right here in Pensacola? Locally customized, locally designed, locally planned, locally executed, and locally optimized for your success by our team of media marketing professionals that really know Northwest Florida and South Alabama. Our team makes sure your campaign contains the most attention-getting display and video elements and the most advanced targeting to make sure your marketing budget is used in the most effective way possible. We are ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners, your team of trusted media professionals under the same roof of the radio names you know and love, like Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola, and Pensacola's Playlist. Begin your partnership with ADX Digital today by emailing connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com.
ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Join Escambia County on Wednesday, May 10th at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as they discuss their upcoming career fair at the Pensacola Bay Center. There are several career opportunities available within the Escambia County government. If you or someone you know is looking for a career, then tune in on Wednesday, May 10th at 10:30 to learn more about the Escambia County Career Fair.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3, 95.3, and on the AM dial at 1620.
Look at him, he's heading for that small moon.
I think I can get him before he gets there. He's almost in range.
That's no moon.
So I spent so much time, of course, with Dr. Lesky and Rick Bailey that we don't have anything left for David Wayne, normally who does a headlines piece here. And I'm so sorry about that, but I think you can understand why we did that. But David will have your local news coming up next after Fox. I'll be honest, Candy, what my takeaway from all this is, I mean, I have theories.
I do, too.
But I still can't make sense of the motivation. I can't make sense of all of the scheming that went on to make all of this happen. It's so ugly.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3.